The Old Testament reading for the fourth Sunday in Advent is from Isaiah chapter 7. Again the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or high as heaven." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test." And he said, "Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary men, that you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey when he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the boy knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land whose two kings you dread will be deserted. The Lord will bring upon you and upon your people and upon your father's house such days as have not come since the day that Ephraim departed from Judah, the king of Syria." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Romans chapter 1. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God in power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship, to bring about the obedience of faith, for the sake of his name among all the nations, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the first chapter. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. This is the gospel of our Lord. Our sermon text today is the gospel lesson just read, Matthew chapter 1, 18 to 25. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, there are many parts to the story of the first Christmas. In our gospel for the fourth Sunday in Advent, the evangelist Matthew tells us Joseph's side of the Christmas story. "I have become a father three times, so I can relate to Joseph's anxiety before the first Christmas. A first-time father especially worries, will everything be ready when the newborn arrives? And I can give it this advice, no, it won't all be ready. 9 months is not enough time for everything that you might think of. Stick to the basics, like a separate room for the baby so you can sleep, the necessary furniture, and the most important invention of the 20th century, the diaper genie. Let the mom worry about the rest." Joseph had to take care of the first century equivalent of all this stuff, Plus, he had to deal with the very difficult situation of not expecting to be expecting. You see, Mary did not tell Joseph ahead of time, as far as we can tell. Look at Matthew 1:18 in our gospel. It says, "When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child of the Holy Spirit." That means that somebody found out that Mary was going to have a child before she told Joseph. And whoever that was told Joseph. Now put yourself into Joseph's shoes. He had not had relations with Mary, as the gospel clearly states here. And he had not talked with Mary about his discovery. He thought he knew for sure that Mary had conceived this child by another father. Well, in a sense, this was true, because Jesus was conceived by his heavenly Father through the Holy Spirit. It's the same to whom we pray in the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father, who art in heaven." In any event, the child was not Joseph's. The right thing to do was to have Mary take a trip to her relatives where she would have the baby. Joseph would then divorce from Mary legally, and she would be available to wed another man or fend for herself as best as she could. And that was the most lenient course of action in a society where the punishment for adultery was death. Now, I wonder why Joseph did not talk to Mary about their problem. After all, it was their problem, not his. I think it was because as soon as he found out about the baby, he had written Mary off in his own mind. He probably thought, "Well, if Mary did that, then I can't trust her with anything. I can't trust a word she says. Why should I talk to her? I'll make up my own mind on this." Well, husbands, please learn from Joseph's mistake that any problem you have in life is not just your problem. It is a problem for both of you to solve together. Two minds are better than one, they say. And you see, this two minds feature of marriage was created by God for your benefit. Remember Joseph's mistake and listen to your wives. Well, that doesn't mean you should obey your wife. That's a reversal of God's order. But you do need to listen to her, and that is God's order. Well, Joseph was being a typically obtuse, non-communicative husband. And while he was deciding what he was going to do, the real father of the baby stepped in. God the Father sent a messenger angel to Joseph and said, "Stop. Don't send Mary away. Don't divorce her. The baby is God's child, and he needs a human father to protect, care, and nurture him here on earth. When he is born, you need to call him Jesus, because he has come to save his people from their sins." Joseph obeyed God. Then he talked to Mary about God's message. And then the two began to make plans together for their baby and their new life together as husband and wife. A first century Jew hearing the announcement of the angel would know what it meant. But you and I are Gentiles. I think everybody here is a Gentile. And we might miss the significance. So the evangelist Matthew throws in an Old Testament text here into the narrative to explain what is going on. It is a reference to our Old Testament lesson today, Isaiah 7:10 to 17. The story in Isaiah goes like this. King Ahaz of Judea was being a typically hard-headed, impious king. As a king of the people of Israel, his job was to seek God's counsel through the prophets on a regular basis, as well as offering up prayers on the people's behalf. See, that job was a little bit different than the other kings because these were the people of God. King Ahaz thought he had everything figured out. He had his cabinet of advisors, were trained in the arts of war and commerce and agriculture, etc. He didn't need the counsel of a bunch of grungy old prophets. And this attitude toward the prophets was common among the kings of Israel and Judah, and it got worse as the years went on. After a couple of years of being ignored, the prophet Isaiah had had enough. He came before the king and politely asked him to seek God's counsel. The king refused, whereupon Isaiah said in so many words, "Okay, if you and your sons are going to ignore God's counsel, God is going to give you his words, commands, and promises anyway. And here is how you and our people will know that God's word has come. A virgin will conceive without a man and bear a son, and he will be given the name Emmanuel, which means God with us." Now, there are a lot of people in court that day. A lot of people heard that, and the words were put down into the book of Isaiah. So from that day forward, the believers in Israel and Judah look forward to the coming of a child by virgin birth, whose name would mean God is with us. No longer would the king seek the counsel of the prophets for the word of God. Instead, God himself would walk among and talk to his people. God himself here on earth, talking to the king and instructing the people. It was a wonderful vision and a hopeful sign. But it was not fulfilled immediately. They had to wait a long, long time, nearly 700 years from the time of Isaiah's prophecy to the birth of Jesus. Believers today wonder, how long will it be till Jesus returns again? Belief in God and the practice of any religion is slowly fading away in Europe and North America, and it's in the news every once in a while. Religious nuns, that's not N-U-N-S, it's N-O-N-E-S, is a shorthand used to refer to people who say the religion is nothing in particular, and added into that are the agnostics and atheists. And they now make up roughly 30% of the U.S. adult population. Well, this is a stark increase from 1990, when 8.9% of Americans were nuns. Christian moral laws that lasted for two millennia are gradually being overthrown in this country by legislation and court decisions. Many churches are being abandoned. Others are being corrupted from the inside out. People no longer seek the counsel of God from his word, the Holy Bible. They have all the expert advisors they need on TV, on the internet, in the universities. Who needs the dusty old Bible of the prophets and the apostles, they say. Things could get worse this way, and maybe they will. But nobody knows for sure, and I can't tell you. How long till Jesus returns? Nobody knows. It could be 7 days from now. Could be 7 years. Could be 700 years. It's already been 2,000 years since the birth of Christ. How much longer until he returns? How long, O Lord? How long? Since we don't know how long till Jesus returns, you and I simply need to constantly be ready. And that is a major theme of Advent. It is like having in-laws from out of state who never announce when they're going to visit you. Do any of you have somebody like that in your family? And with your in-laws, it means that your house is always in order, relatively clean, and that you have a bed, blankets, towels, ready for their visit at any time. So in the same way, Your spiritual house should be in order now, before Jesus comes. And that is as simple as regularly repenting of your sin, believing all the words of Holy Scripture, and applying those words to your life and behavior in the ways as explained in Luther's Small Catechism. Joseph and Mary were ready for Jesus' first coming by the time he was born. Will you be ready for his second coming? In Jesus' name, amen.